And if you notice, they're on, I handed out the sheet of paper last week. I don't know if you still have it, but you notice on the Way of Darkness that it starts off at the top. You got the transgressing son on Proverbs 11, verse 8. And it starts with the simple son at birth. And then in time, he becomes a scorner. And then he becomes a fool. And then last of all, he becomes very wicked. And that's the evil son, also found in Proverbs 2, 12. And of course, the fear of the Lord, and I'll read that in a second. The fear of the Lord is the way of change. That's a way of change. And then you have the way of light, and it starts off with a prudent son, and then he grows in the Lord, and he becomes an understanding son, and then he becomes a wise son, and then a righteous son. As he grows in his trust, in his walk with the Lord, he becomes stronger and stronger. And of course, they overlap, because sometimes even a righteous son might carry some of the characteristics of a prudent son. It's just his walk and his growth and how he grows in the Lord. Last week, we looked at the simple son and the prudent son. And when we looked at the simple son, does anybody remember how does the simple son respond to wisdom and instruction? The definition, anybody remember? He ignores it. You're right. You're right, Jesse. Thank you. And then also on the prudent son, what does he do with wisdom and instruction? Yes, go ahead. Yes, that's the prudent son. But what's the definition? You just right above it. Yep, right above it, underneath the definition, the prudent son. Right above it, because she got it. The prudent son covers shame. But right above it, under the definition, it says the prudent son blanks wisdom and instruction. There you go. You got it. Regards, wisdom, and instruction. We also know that the simple son, going back to the simple son, he's like an open gate, like a gate in the wind. He just kind of flops around, and he is not able to discern good and evil, and he lacks understanding because he hasn't been taught yet, and he needs object lessons. He needs God working with the scorner to realize his ways and sometimes repent and turn from it. And then, of course, the prudent son, he, as was already said, he covers shame and he foresees evil. He sees something coming and he goes, maybe this is not the way I should be going. Maybe I should consider my ways. This isn't the path I want to take. And he changes his ways. He goes a different direction. The prudent son's not a know-it-all. He doesn't appear before others as knowing everything and arrogant and high-minded of himself. The prudent son, he thinks about his ways before he does it. And the prudent son is wise in heart. He considers what he's doing, and he's crowned with knowledge. And we looked at several different people like David and others who are examples of the prudent son. So today, we want to go ahead and look at the next son of Proverbs, the next two, and that is the scorner, the scornful son, and the understanding son, and that's the next page. And as we get started, before we start reading, oh, it's up there. Oh, thanks, Dana. I didn't know you had a copy of that. Oh, yeah, I did send that to him. I did send that one. So Proverbs chapter 1. Let me read this whole chapter for us today, because it's got a number of indications of not only the simple, but also of the scornful and of the understanding son. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, the Word of God says this: the Proverbs of Solomon. So God used Solomon as the human author to pen these words of inspiration. Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. He listens to those who give good counsel and heeds them, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's that middle circle there. The fear of the Lord is the way of change. But fools, fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily in their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out. Whoops, I lost it. It took off. Where did it go? Yeah, which verse was I at? 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quit from fear of evil. Wow, powerful, powerful chapter, chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs. So let's look at the scornful son. As we look at the scornful son, the definition of the scornful son is that he ridicules wisdom and instruction. He makes fun of it. He makes light of it. And we see today the scornful son mocking, making fun of, and the things of God. And the definition, the scornful, is to scorn, to make mouths at. You know, when someone says something, you know, like a teenager, mom says, go clean your room. And that teenager mockingly moves his lip. You know, just a mocker. Mocks, moves his mouth at. And he talks arrogantly. And to boast, to mock, to deride, to interpret, such as languages, to be inflated, to scoff at. Oh, Proverbs 1:33. But who? Oh.
No, I thought that you were reading from. I want to hear the blank.
Yep, I want them to fill in the blank. They're not up yet. Oh, Dana. We just have the verses there. So you haven't seen those answers. So the scornful son ridicules wisdom and instruction. That's the first blank. There it is. There you go. Yep. So the scornful son ridicules wisdom and instruction. And the definition of the scornful son, to scorn, to make mouths at, to talk arrogantly, to boast, to mock, to deride, to interpret, to be inflated, you know, walking around like a turkey, all flated up, scoff at, act as a scorner, show oneself a mocker. You know, you see that a lot in children, in teens, and sometimes even in adults. They mock and make fun of. They're all puffed up like a turkey and full of arrogance. That's the scornful son. And we see that quite often. We see that quite often when it comes to people. And so when you consider that and you think, you know, hey, you know, I don't want to be a scornful son. I don't want to ridicule. Because not only do we want to look at the definition, but the scornful son also, his reaction to discipline. How does he act when people lovingly try to correct him and encourage him? How does he respond? So first of all, we want to look at Proverbs. I got it right here. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1. Proverbs 13:1 says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." So he will not listen to discipline. He doesn't hear rebuke. He won't listen to it. He turns away from it. And then Proverbs 9:7-8. Who would be willing to read that for me? Anybody got Proverbs chapter 9? Okay. Proverbs 9:7-8. And I'm going to drop down to Proverbs 15.
"He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee."
So Proverbs 9:7-8 says that the scorner will hate those who discipline him. Have you ever seen people who hate those who try to encourage them? Encourage them in the things of the Lord? You try to tell them, you know, I don't think that's what the Lord would have you do. And they hate those who correct them and tries to encourage them. He just hates them. That's the scorner. That's the scorner. So if you know somebody that hates you because you try to encourage them or try to point them in the direction that they should go, that's a scornful son. Someone that's not interested, and he doesn't listen, and he won't change his ways. And then Proverbs 15:25. I'm going to read 15:12. Maybe Daniel will read 19:25. Proverbs 19:25. Daniel, do you have that one? So he does not learn through punishment. He does not learn through punishment. And then Proverbs 15:12 says, "A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise." So number 4, he will not go to the wise. He will not go to those who have the wisdom of instruction. You know, for instance, this is an earthly situation, like when my wife breaks her sewing machine or she breaks her serger, she does not tear into it herself and try to do it herself. She goes to someone who has the education, who knows how to fix it, and takes it to them. And they fix it. Lord willing, they fix it in time before we leave. And so she goes for wise counsel. She doesn't just jump into it herself. She considers, hey, you know, maybe someone knows a little bit better of what I should do. Maybe I need someone to pray with me. So the scornful son will not go to the wise. He won't go. He won't listen. He hates those who correct him. And he learns through, or he does not learn, even through punishment. And then Proverbs 19:25 as well as 22:10. He will ultimately be dealt with severely. Severely. In Proverbs 22, I'll run down here to Proverbs 22. I need to plug my laptop in, but Proverbs 22:10 says this: cast out the scorner, and contention should go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. So the scorner, he will be dealt with severely. And we know the scorner, you know, just like the rich man and Lazarus, the story in Luke 16 shares with us that Lazarus opened up his eyes in hell. It says, okay, let's see here. I'm not coming on for some reason. I thought I had all the switches on tonight. There we go. Technical difficulties. How's that? So, everybody with me? Any questions? That's pretty clear, isn't it? Yes, Jane. Yeah,
the
simple. Yep, just like we looked at last Sunday. Yeah.
That could be the very thing that turns them to God and turns their hearts to fear of the Lord.
Yeah, because he sees the punishment of the scorner. Yes. All right, the next one is two examples of the scornful son. Two examples. And I want to look here. Let me go ahead and look up these verses. In 1 Kings 16:31. 1 Kings 16:31 says this: and it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal. So you remember wicked King Ahab? It tells us here that he will not listen to discipline. God's word tells us not to intermarry with these foreign nations. So the one I'm talking about in 1 Kings is King Ahab. King Ahab. So here in 1 Kings 16:31, it says he won't listen to discipline. He won't listen to that. But then, in the next text, if I can find it, whoops. In the next text in 1 Kings chapter 18. Chapter 18 and verse 17 says this: and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? King Ahab was blaming Elijah for all his troubles. He won't listen to correction. He won't listen to him. Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. So he's not going to listen to instruction, doesn't listen to those who discipline him. He married with wicked Queen Jezebel and chose to refuse. So this is an example of a scornful son. And then in 1 Kings 22, verses 34 and 38, 1 Kings and 22. Let's see if I can get there this way. There's 20. I'm using my tablet here. 22, and we want to look at 34. Verse 34 says this. As soon as I get there. There's 36. 33. Come on, 34. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture. I like this. Drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. Wicked queen, or wicked king Ahab. You know, and it's interesting because here we have, you know, Kevin's quite an archer, right? He's an archer. He likes to shoot a bow. And I can just imagine, here this young man is saying, you know, I haven't even shot a shot today. I'm out here in the midst of the battle, and I hear the battle going on, but I haven't even been able to shoot my bow. You know, I am just going to shoot my bow. He pulls out an arrow, he pulls it up, and he shoots it just as a whim. And it comes along, and it hits the king, King Ahab.
Right in between
his, yes.
Right in between, like, his armor, too.
Yeah. Yes. It dead center. It wasn't even aiming for anything. It was just as though, hey, you know, here I am. I'm a young man in this battle, and I haven't been in the battle at all. You know, I haven't even shot my bow. I'm just going to shoot my bow. And he shoots it in the air, and he hits Wicked the king. And King Ahab, and he will die severely. So you can see that King Ahab, he will not listen to discipline. He hates those who discipline him. You know, Elijah, it's all your fault. And then, of course, he will ultimately be dealt with severely. And then we also have Wicked Queen Jezebel. Wicked Queen Jezebel. Her story is in 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 30 through 36. He will be dealt with severely. This story is incredible. Let me read it for you. 2 Kings chapter 9 and beginning at verse 30, it says this. And when Jehu, this is a judge, he is a reckless driver. You know, if you lived back then, you don't want to even be standing in the ditches because he's all over the place. You know, you don't want to be around him at all. He's an incredible driver. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Jimri peace, who slew his master. And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drank and said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her. For she is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. Isn't that incredible? So here's Jehu. He comes riding into town, and Jezebel has some crude thing to say, and he shouts out, who's on my side, or who's on the Lord's side? And this eunuch looks out, three of them, and he says, throw her out the window. So they threw out the window, and her blood splattered on the chariots and on the wall. And so Jehu, he goes in to get something to eat. He was really hungry. And they come back out, and all they find to Jezebel is her skull, the palms of her hands, and her feet. That was it. So is God going to deal severely with the scornful son? He certainly is. Can anybody else think of another example of a scornful son?
I think of Shimei. He's the guy that was mocking David as David was leaving the court.
Yes. Yep.
After Absalom.
Yep. Trying to back up. Anybody else?
We have a lot of modern day examples.
Oh, yes. I'm sure we could, oh, yes, oh, many, many modern-day examples. Tuck would probably help you out with some of those. Right, Tuck? I know you can't say anything, but you're listening. Okay, anybody else? All right, let's go on then. The understanding son. The understanding son. Now, the understanding son... The definition of the understanding son is the understanding son acquires wisdom and instruction. Just as the example with Jane and her serger and a sewing machine, she seeks it out. She looks for it, looking for wisdom and instruction. And that's what the understanding son does. He looks, he searches, he reads the word of God, he prays, and he seeks to acquire wisdom and instruction. If you do that, you're considered an understanding son. Define things like acquire means to attain, to get, to create, even to go so far as to buy and to possess. That is the understanding son. Oops, I missed this, didn't I? The scornful son is found 27 times in the book of Proverbs. It's defined as scorn, interpreter, mocker, ambassador, derision, mock, scornful, teachers. Total of 27 times. The understanding son, though, is found 94 times in the book of Proverbs. 32 times as understanding, and 62 times as understand. So the understanding son acquires wisdom and instruction. Let's look at the understanding son's response. How does he respond to wisdom? In Proverbs 1:5, it says this: a wise man will hear. He will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. As well as in Proverbs 15:14 and Proverbs 20, verse 5. He looks for wise counsel. He looks for it. He doesn't ignore it. He doesn't run from it. He doesn't hate those who try to correct him. He looks for it. He longs for it. And then Proverbs 15:21. Dana, would you like to look up that one? Are you still with us?
I keep losing audio, so I don't hear anything you say.
Okay. Can you look up Proverbs 15:21 and read it for us? Correct. Proverbs 15:21. How does the understanding son walk? And then, okay. And then I have Proverbs 19:25. I've got that one. I put Dana on the spot, didn't I? Yeah, that's hard. It's, I hope we get that fixed. I don't know what the deal is.
Computers are not being very helpful tonight.
Yeah. Very good. There it is. So the understanding son, he walks upright. He walks upright. And there he said it walks uprightly. I could add an L-Y on the end, couldn't I? So he walks uprightly. And then listen to this one in Proverbs 19:25. And this is what Jane was referring to. Listen to this. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. So he gains knowledge from reproof. When he gets reproof, he gains knowledge from it. He listens to it. He heeds it. He responds to it. That's the understanding son in Proverbs 19:25. And then number 4 and 5. Benefits of the understanding son. Benefits of the understanding son in Proverbs 3:13. Would someone like to look? Let's see here. Let's get some help, okay? Raise a hand if you are willing to help me. Who will read Proverbs 3:13? Janie, will you get that one? Oh, you got it? Okay. Go ahead, look up Proverbs 3:13. And then who has Proverbs 10:23? Okay.
Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. You want just one verse?
Nope, that's it. Very good. Happiness. He will gain happiness. Proverbs 3:13. Did I catch that in there? Was that in there? I think that was there. Then Proverbs 10:23.
It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom.
All right, so number 2 is wisdom. So first of all, the understanding son, the benefits of it, first of all, is happiness. Who wants to be happy? Everybody wants to be happy, right? Yes, and gain wisdom, right? And then Proverbs 16:22, a wellspring of? Proverbs 16:22. And then I'll read 17. Proverbs 17:27.
Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that has it. But the instruction of fools is folly.
Yes. So the benefits of the understanding son is he will be happy, full of wisdom, and a wellspring of life. A wellspring of life. And then Proverbs 17:27 says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Excellent spirit. So he'll have happiness, wisdom, a wellspring of life, and an excellent spirit. I like to be around people with an excellent spirit. And then Proverbs 19:8.
He that getteth understanding loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good.
Yes. So they shall find good. And then Proverbs 28:2 is our last verse.
For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged.
Yes, country or government will be prolonged. So if we have an understanding mind, being an understanding son, I think of the verse that refers to any nation or country that will bless Israel. In other words, be on God's side, loving wisdom and instruction. Their life, their country will be prolonged. It will be prolonged. Proverbs 17:24 says, wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. Let's name some examples of some understanding sons. Anybody think of an understanding son that we could name as an example? Joseph, yes. Yes, indeed, Joseph. Of course, David, we looked at David. Who else? Did I hear Gideon? Gideon would fit in there. Mary? mother of Jesus. Who, Jane? Yes, very much so. Job. Caleb, oh yes. Yep, Caleb. Give me that mountain. Yes, powerful message. Caleb. All right. So the way of change. We looked at the simple son and the prudent son. And then today we looked at the scorner, and then the understanding son. So as you correlate both of those together, you ask the question, well, which one do I want to bear the characteristics of? I hope we'll say, hey, I want to be an understanding son. I want to listen to those who lovingly correct me, direct me in the way that I should go. I have a desire to find the truth and to do what's right, to seek out wisdom and instruction. What a powerful book. Isn't this an exciting book? Got lots of exciting things in it that can encourage us in our walk with the Lord. Thank you so much, Dana, and all those who are willing to read for us today. And we got a few more to go. We got two more to go. And we'll do that after Pastor Jamie. He's going to be here next Sunday. Pastor Jamie next Sunday. So be sure to be here Sunday school, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. His wife will be here and three children. And pray for them. Some of them have a little bit of an anxiety of flying, but I hope it'll be a wonderful experience and that they will not be totally terrified, but that they will come to a point where they can enjoy it. Because flying, I think flying is a lot of fun, but if you don't enjoy it, it'll be a scary experience. So we need to pray for them. Let's go ahead and close tonight with hymn number 154. That's the hymn that Nancy had put down. So we'll keep the number that Nancy had, 154, the inspired text here, 154, Nancy's notes right here, 154. What's that? Yes, let's go ahead and stand together as we're closing. 154, Jesus is calling. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home. Calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is waiting, oh come to him now, waiting today, waiting today. Come with thy sins at his feet lowly bow, come and no longer delay. Is pleading, oh list to his voice, hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. is calling, is tenderly calling today. Amen. All right. Thanks so much for coming tonight. Those who are here physically in the church, as well as those online, thanks so much for being a part of our Bible study tonight. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we are dismissed. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, for your love and watch care. We pray that by next Sunday that we'll see our friends back, those who are not feeling well today. Just bless them and encourage them, as well as Wednesday night as we come together and pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Pray that Kevin will get better, and then you don't have to listen to me sing next week. Ha, ha, ha.